Blog Talk Radio.
Canto in Dallas, Texas on Friday, October the 13th. Well, I have a little difficulty saying Friday, October the 13th. I'm not really superstitious, but it is kind of weird, though, how every time you see that date, you think of something. And I guess it must be that movie that came out in the 1980s or whenever it was about Friday the 13th. But anyway, it's a beautiful day here in Dallas, an absolutely lovely fall day. And today we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about the Boy Scouts. You may have heard of a very bad decision that was made regarding the Boy Scouts, and I've got a few thoughts about that. President Trump just decertified the Iran deal. Not a shock that he did it, but I think it is a step in the right direction. President Trump continues to undo some of the Obamacare mandates, and I think the real lesson of this is not so much about healthcare as it is about the fact that you should not govern. You shouldn't govern with executive orders. You should govern by going to Congress and having the Congress pass the law. That's how you should govern. Unfortunately, that's not the way it was done under President Obama. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But I do want to begin by reminding you that I have a post over at the American Thinker regarding abortion. And I talked a little bit about this yesterday. But you know, any society that does not understand that abortion after 20 weeks or literally in the fifth month of a pregnancy, any society that is willing to accept that is a society that has a morality problem. Now, in all fairness, it does not represent a majority opinion in the United States. In fact, it represents a minority opinion. Most Americans, especially women, do not support abortion after 20 weeks. But one of the tragic consequences of Roe v. Wade is that the people who support Roe v. Wade believe that any change, if you will, to total abortion is going to bring about the elimination of abortion, since it was passed by an opinion of the Supreme Court. It was never the law of the land, a congressional law, that is. It's an opinion by the Supreme Court. And I think they've always feared that if you crack down or just crack the decision in any way, that that's going to mean that legal abortion is going to go away. So anytime you want to amend or you want to do anything about abortion, they immediately come back at you and they say, well, a woman has the right to choose an abortion. Well, I guess under that opinion, if you believe that we should govern that way, which I don't, I think this should have been done by legislatures, but nevertheless, let's accept Roe v. Wade for what it is, an opinion that a lot of people believe is the law of the land. Let's just accept that. I don't, but let's just accept that. Even in that case, there ought to be room for some change to total abortion. Most countries around the world do not allow abortion after 20 weeks. In fact, there's only 7 countries around the world that allow abortion after 20 weeks, and we happen to be one of them. And I think it's a travesty. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. And I think any society that believes that holding on to the right to choose is such a right, they're not willing to say, okay, abortion after 20 weeks or abortion under these circumstances is illegal. I think any society that believes that will ultimately, in my opinion, corrupt itself. And I think that's what's happening here. So I just hope that we can somehow come to terms with the fact that an abortion in the fifth month is just not wrong. It is completely, absolutely immoral. I think anyone like me who had a chance to see my wife in the fifth month of a pregnancy, we did it 3 times. We have 3 kids. And in the fifth month of a pregnancy, I mean, if you don't realize that you're pregnant and expecting a baby in the fifth month, you're not human. I just don't know what else to say. You're not a human being with any kind of sense of feelings or emotions. So shame on the Democrats who continue to defend Roe v. Wade to such an extent that they're willing to basically fight abortion to such a degree that they will not even live with abortion being illegal after 20 weeks. It puts the United States in some pretty bad company around the world, to say the least. Korea, North Korea, I think China, Cuba, a few other countries. None of them are the kinds of countries that you want to associate yourself with when it comes to human rights or where it comes to civilization. I have a post coming out hopefully tomorrow, Saturday, where I talk about the Boy Scouts. You know, I, as the father of three sons, remember going to many Boy Scouts meetings, and it was a great idea. I mean, the retreats were absolutely great. There were many times when you take your son, you go away on a retreat for the weekend. They were good. They were good not only for bonding between father and son, but it was a good way for the boys to be around a group of men in a very healthy relationship. The boys would also learn some very good values about life, about, you know, camping or whatever. And I always thought it was a great idea. It also gave me a chance, frankly, to get to know some of the fathers of some of my son's friends. And I always thought the Boy Scouts was an absolutely wonderful thing. Well, now, of course, they've accepted homosexual and transgender, and now they've accepted girls, which I think defeats the whole point of the Boy Scouts. I mean, it's called the Boy Scouts for a reason. And I think it really goes to show how we're destroying so many of our traditions, and we're destroying so many of the things that we love as a country, and the Boy Scouts being one of them. The Boy Scouts will never be the same. It'll never be the same because the Boy Scouts are no longer the Boy Scouts. They're now boys and girls and transgenders and everybody else. And it's just not the same thing. It's just not the same thing. And I think that it's a shame that future generations will not have that experience of having a weekend with their father and son, or in the case of the Girl Scouts, mothers and daughters. I think it's a terrible thing. It's an absolutely horrible thing. And in my post, I write how we're wrecking the NFL. We're wrecking the NFL with political correctness. And now, I guess, we're going to be wrecking the Boy Scouts. It's just absolutely horrible, an absolutely horrible, horrible thing that we're doing to our country. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back after we hear from our friend Carlos.
This is Carlos Quedes, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
My good friend Carlos, and if you're on Facebook, I would just check him out on Facebook because he's got a list of all the places he's playing around town. It's just an absolutely wonderful schedule of appearances at different restaurants. And I can tell you this, wherever he plays, the food is good and the music is good. So what else can you say about our friend Carlos? Just a couple of quick things from on this day in history. We remember Eddie Matthews, the great Major League Baseball player who was born on this day in 1931. He died in 2001. Matthews was the third baseman for the Milwaukee Braves for all those great seasons. He and Henry Aaron hit more home runs than any other two teammates in Major League history. Henry Aaron and Eddie Matthews were part of some great teams together, the Milwaukee Braves, many, many years ago. And today, if you remember this, in 1971, the very first night World Series game. The very first night World Series game. What an amazing story that is. I remember watching that game in 1971. It's a real treat because baseball used to be only in the afternoon, or at least the postseason games used to be only in the afternoon. Frankly, I think we should go back to that. Not completely. I still like night baseball, but the night baseball should be on weekends. I think during the week, honestly, there ought to be some earlier games because these midnight games, I think, are killing, absolutely killing the audience, especially the kids. I mean, how can you have a kid up till midnight watching a baseball game? So they don't get to see the end of the game, which is usually how you build or how you invest yourself emotionally in a game. A couple of things by President Trump this week. One was he went after some of the Obamacare mandates. Now, we can agree or disagree whether he improved Obamacare. I happen to think that he did, but others believe that maybe he didn't. That's a matter of debate, and that's something that people can agree or disagree on. But to me, the real lesson of what President Trump is doing with respect to Obamacare is that so much of Obamacare was built on the basis of executive orders. Here's what happened. Obamacare was approved by the Congress in March of 2010. It was signed into law by President Obama in 2010. And there were many, many, many things that President Obama wanted to get into Obamacare, but they simply could not put him in. They just couldn't get the votes within the Democrat Party. And one of those was abortion. They simply couldn't get the Democrats to go along with it. So they took whatever they could get. And then after Obamacare was signed into law, we learned that one of the things about Obamacare is that it gave the Secretary of Health and Human Services a tremendous amount of discretion to do this or to do that. I think this, by the way, this was a huge mistake on the part of the Congress. The Congress should never give away power like that, but they did. They did to the executive. So as a consequence, you had President Obama and the White House and the Secretary of Health and Human Services basically rewriting the rules without having to go to Congress. And that's what they did with respect to contraceptives. That's what they did with respect to these payments, so-called subsidies to the insurance companies. And it was all being done by executive order. It was not within the law that the Congress passed. It was all being done by executive orders. So what President Trump said, I'm going to reverse that by executive order. And that's exactly what he's been doing this last week. Now, I think, again, there's a lesson there for future presidents. If you want to get anything done and you want to make sure that it survives the next president, you better make it a law of the land. And you do that by going to Congress. It's interesting because back in 2011, 2012, when Obamacare was being presented and explained to the American people, one of the things that I told a lot of my Democrat friends was, you're going to regret giving a president that much power. You're going to regret giving a president that much discretion because the next Republican president will undo all of this by executive order. And that's exactly what's happened. President Trump is undoing all of this by executive order. He has a right to do it. I mean, he's not doing anything wrong. But I think the lesson is, if you're going to legislate, do it through the Congress. Because if all of this had been put in Obamacare, then only the Congress would have been able to change it. Because it was executive orders, then the next executive, President Trump in this case, is actually changing it. So I think there's a lesson. There's a reason the founding fathers created the Constitution the way they did. And I just wish that we would follow the Constitution. President Trump today also decertified the Iran deal. Now, it doesn't kill it completely, but at least it sends it to the Congress for a couple of months or a few months. I never liked the Iran deal, not because I'm an expert on Iranian policy or nuclear policy. I just didn't like the way President Obama did it. He never sent it to Congress for a review or for the Senate so that it would be reviewed as a treaty. So as a consequence, what we ended up with was basically an agreement between President Obama and other countries. It was never certified by the Senate as it should be. And I think that was a huge mistake. But the fact that President Obama never sent it to Congress always made me worry. It was not a good deal. It's not a good deal. And I think we need to rewrite it. I'm not against an Iranian nuclear deal per se, but I think it should be done by treaty and it should be done by the Senate, which is the way the Constitution calls for it. Thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.